This is Mary Ann McCullough, Brother Aaron's wife, welcoming you to today's edition of Fresh Fire Ministries. I hope that you've made your plans to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we once again worship the Lord through the old-fashioned preaching of His precious Holy Word. I would like to remind you that the Fresh Fire Ministries radio broadcast is a listener-supported faith ministry, which means we are dependent upon the prayers and financial support of our listeners, just like you, to pay for airtime and production costs associated with this ministry. My husband and I take no salary from this ministry. In fact, we are financial supporters just like you. This is simply a labor of love for us. So if you enjoy these programs, I encourage you to become a financial supporter with us. No amount is too small and none is too large. And remember, all financial gifts are tax deductible. Also, we would love to be in service with you. I ask that you prayerfully consider having Brother Aaron come and preach for your next homecoming, revival, men's meeting, or even a regular Sunday service. It would be his honor to come. To correspond with us, you may call us locally at 706-302-9162 or toll free 1-800-511-9536. Our email, freshfire@mindspring.com. Or you may visit us on the web at www.freshfireministries.com. And always the regular mail, 1141 East Main Street in Hogansville, Georgia, 30230. Thanks for tuning in today. Now here's my husband, Brother Aaron, to tell you about today's broadcast.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate you so very, very much. You do a great job with those introductions. I know that our listeners like to know where we're going to be from week to week so they can join us whenever possible. Let me make you listeners aware that on March the 26th, I'll be preaching the morning service and the evening service at the Cedar Hill Baptist Church down in Phoenix City, Alabama. And I want to encourage you to come and be with us. We're going to be there at 11 o'clock Sunday morning and then back at 6 o'clock Sunday night. Then also let me make you aware, on Monday the 27th, starting at 7:30 Georgia time, that's 6:30 Alabama time, I'll be preaching at the Pine Grove Church in Opelika, Alabama, for their men's ministry meeting there. So you come and be with us there. That's where Pastor Mark McCarty serves, and we're looking forward to being there with them. All right, today you're going to hear part one of a sermon I preached this past week during revival services at the Miracle Way Baptist Church in Sonoma, Georgia. And this is entitled, Coming to the End of Ourselves, Part 1. Hope you get a blessing out of the message today. If you want to put a title on this sermon, you can put this title on it, Coming to the End of Ourselves. May I be so bold as to submit to you that many churches don't experience revival today, and the reason is because they're not willing to experience the brokenness that must come with revival. It requires it. Now, would it surprise you if I told you that the story I just read to you is about two broken people, not just one, but two? And the one who appears to be the most broken really is not the one who's the most broken. Now, I'm using a little play on words here. When I look at the woman, when I speak of her being broken, she's experiencing brokenness. But when I speak of Simon through this sermon of being broken, he's just broke as in he don't work. I mean, he don't do what he's supposed to do. He needs fixing broke is what I'm talking about him. Now, in the story, we see two people. One is a prostitute, and the other is a professional religious rule follower. Mm-hmm. Now, if I ask you which of these two you preferred to be, would you tell me you preferred to be the prostitute living a life of moral debauchery or the rich, well-respected religious leader who appears to have all of his stuff together, the guy that everybody looks up to? Well, most of us, if you want to be real honest about it, say, well, we'd just soon be Simon. Yeah, I'd like to be the rich guy. Yeah, I've heard folks say, money can't get you to heaven or money can't buy you happiness. I said, well, I'd like to try it. Amen. I'd like to have enough to try every once in a while, wouldn't you? No, I'm just kidding on that. But I want to contrast these two broken people. Now, but before I do, I want to tell you a story. Pastor Kyle Eidelman tells the story of a man named Brian. His assistant, the pastor's assistant, had reminded him one day that he needed to call Brian. And as the pastor looked over his notes, he was reminded that Brian's 18-month-old son had died a few weeks earlier. The pastor didn't really know the details, and he called him on the phone, and after expressing heartbreak for his loss, he allowed silence to settle in on the phone call. After a few moments, Brian spoke four words that the pastor wasn't prepared for. He simply said, "I backed over him." And there was more silence. Brian explained, when the pastor asked him how he was doing, that somehow, well, let me just say this. Brian explained that somehow, without anybody ever knowing that his child could or that he had opened the door and went outside. And the pastor asked him, "Well, Brian, how are you doing?" Surprisingly, he began to tell of how, because of the brokenness that this tragedy caused, he had gone from attending church once in a while out of tradition to running into God's arms in complete desperation. Brian said, and I want you to hear this, he said, "I feel like I reached this point in my life when I had absolutely nothing left. And it turns out, for the first time in my life, Jesus has become real." Upon hearing that, Pastor Eidelman posted on Facebook. He put this up and asked his followers to fill in the blank. He said, "Jesus became real when I..." And there was a blank with a question mark. Let me read to you some of the responses he got. "Jesus became real when I was told I had stage 4 cancer. Jesus become real when I found out that my husband was having an affair. Jesus became real when I could no longer pretend that I was in control. He became real when I sat on my bed with my dad's gun in my hand, but said a prayer before I pulled the trigger. I don't remember the last time I prayed. Jesus became real when I was forced out of my 30-year job and had no idea what I was going to do. Jesus became real when I was pregnant, my kidneys were failing, and the doctors told me to abort. I prayed for the first time in a long time, and my daughter is now 23 years old. Amen. Jesus became real when I finally admitted I wasn't strong enough to save my marriage or end my addiction to pornography. Jesus became real when my husband was killed in a car wreck. Jesus became real when the ultrasound revealed that the baby's heart had stopped beating." But the response that summed up all the others read like this. This is what I want to preach on for a while today. "Jesus became real when I came to the end of me." Jesus became real when I came to the end of me. You don't know how much faith you have. Faith is all you have. First thing I want to give you this morning is point number one. Brokenness that brings us to the end of ourselves is often the catalyst God uses to bring the revival we seek. Brokenness that brings us to the end of ourselves is often the catalyst that God uses to bring the revival that we seek. I heard the story last week about the brother of one of my pastors of one of my association churches. It was his older brother. For years, everybody assumed this older brother knew Jesus. They were a religious family. They had been raised right. Like I said, his brother was a preacher. In fact, he presented himself that way as a child of God. And he knew how to play the religious game, and he was a good church member, and everybody thought he's saved. But this past week, his granddaughter died. This tragedy produced brokenness within him that he had never experienced. And this brokenness caused him to realize that he wasn't saved. And after the funeral, his brother had the privilege of leading him to faith in Jesus Christ. Brokenness was the catalyst that brought him to the end of himself. There was nothing he could do to fix it. Nothing he could do to change the situation. He come to a dead end. Oh, but listen. Therein is where revival resides. Oh, it's not at the corner of Glory Hallelujah and Praise Jesus Avenue. Brokenness and revival is found at the end, the dead end of ourselves. That's where Jesus resides. Now, as I begin to contrast these two broken people in this story, there's a glaringly obvious point that needs to be acknowledged. The prostitute has come to the end of herself. She is experiencing brokenness. But Simon, the professional religious rule follower, has not. He's just broken. He don't work. Now, problem with too many of us and too many churches today is we want the revival without the brokenness that we've got to go through. But let me look, let's begin to look at these two a moment. The prostitute. Now let me give you another obvious point. Something had drawn her to where she was. Now, I cannot totally tell you what it was. I don't know. The Bible doesn't reveal that. But you don't go crashing the religious muckety-mucks party when you're a prostitute unless something has drawn you there. What was that something? I don't know. But perhaps she had stood on the periphery and heard Jesus preach. Oh, she couldn't go be a part of the crowd, maybe, but she could stand on the outside listening. Maybe she was standing in the crowd when they brought a woman taken in adultery to Jesus and had heard him say, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." Perhaps she was in the crowd when the 5,000 was fed. Oh, listen, perhaps she had heard him teach somewhere. Perhaps, you fill in the blank. I don't know. But the point is, listen, it's undeniable that she had witnessed something that she could not resist. And in her brokenness, it had drawn her to him. Oh, I want to jump up and down on this. When you experience that something that you cannot resist, it will produce a brokenness in you that will bring you to Jesus at all cost. She risked life and limb and everything about her in her brokenness to get to the one who was drawing her like a magnet. And I'm telling you something, you're here this morning for a reason. Something has drawn you here. And listen, if you will come to Jesus in your brokenness, he will change your life and you will experience the revival you seek.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. Now, because of this, she crashed a party where all the religious muckety-mucks were gathered. She tossed social protocol to the side. Yes, she's a prostitute, and she's checking in at the religious leader's home. This is one of them Fred Sanford deals. I'm coming to you, Elizabeth. I have the big one. She tossed her pride to the side. Now, let me give you something else to think about. Just maybe she scared the life out of some of them religious leaders, because she might could have called some of them by name. Yeah, just think on it, that's all. I ain't saying that's Bible, I'm just saying think on it. Now the prostitute has gone through the breaking process, and she's beautifully broken. And she locks eyes with Jesus and sees, all she sees is love and compassion and forgiveness. There is no judgment coming from him. There is no ridicule. There's no rebuke. Just acceptance and forgiveness. There's an old song we sing for an invitation hymn. It says, just as I am, thou wilt receive. We'll welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief. And you know what? That's absolutely 100% correct. The only way any of us can ever come to Jesus is just as we are. She couldn't go become somebody else or something else before she came to Jesus. She had to come as she was. And Jesus loved her enough to accept her just like she was. But here's a good point. He loved her too much to leave her like she was. Woo! Hallelujah. You come to Jesus in brokenness just like you are. He accepts you that way, but he said, I love you too much to leave you that way. My Lord. My Lord. Listen. There's no doubt when she cast herself at Jesus' feet that she is totally broken. There's no doubt. She is pouring herself out on the floor at Jesus' feet. She had come to the end of herself. And that's where she found Jesus. You know what I believe she probably said? She said, I can't do this anymore. If they kill me, it will be better than what I have now. You know why revival tarries? Because we haven't come to the end of ourselves. We have not come to the point where the pain of remaining the same exceeds the pain of change. We're still comfortable like we are. We're pretty good people, Brother Harry. Why, if you don't think I'm a pretty good person, hang around with me for a while, and I'll tell you how good I am. Amen. I brag on myself sometimes. Oh, help me. I'm just talking about me. This ain't y'all. This is just me. But we're pretty comfortable where we are. Revival comes when you say, we ain't going to do this anymore.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, you know what Einstein, how he defined insanity? You know, doing the same thing, the same way, expecting different results. It ain't going to happen. We have to come to a point where we said, this is not working in my life. I am not the person that Jesus wants me to become. You know what? Well, I'm not God, don't pretend to be. But I would venture to say that when that young lady was conceived in her mother's womb, Jesus did not sit down and plug in the DNA of her life or write a script that says, she'll become a prostitute. No, that was, she becomes something she was never intended to be. And it was only when she said, no, I'm not doing this anymore, that she could experience the love and the forgiveness and the restoration of Jesus Christ. You know what we want? I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We want to be like Simon. We want to say, thank you.